Welcome to In Clear Terms with AARP California. Conversations on issues impacting Californians of all ages. Here's your host, Theon Gordon.
Welcome to In Clear Terms with AARP California. Get ready to explore the real deal around issues and policies that impact Californians of all ages, particularly older adults, and see how you can connect with AARP and make our state more livable for all. I am an AARP volunteer and your host, Dr. Theon Gordon. Today on In Clear Terms with AARP California, we're talking about artificial intelligence. What is it, how it's already a part of our daily lives, and what it means for older Californians. At AARP California, we're committed to helping people stay informed, protect themselves from fraud, and confidently navigate new technology. And AI is a big part of that conversation. With us today is Sid Hiragodra, co-founder of Civ AI, a nonprofit helping people understand AI's real-world impacts. Hello, Sid. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, we're going to dive right in because AI is showing up in our daily life. And according to AARP research, older adults are increasingly using and interested in AI. Many of us, though, I'm one of those older adults, still feel uncertain or cautious and a little anxious about AI. So there's both excitement and concern, and that's exactly why conversations like what we're having today matter. So to start with, tell us a little bit about Civ AI, what it is, and how is your organization different from other organizations that are talking about AI?
Yeah, awesome. So we are a nonprofit based in the Bay Area in California, and our entire goal is to help people understand what consequences AI is going to have on the world in a really visceral way. So there's other groups that will be making, like doing research about what impacts AI is going to have on the labor market, for example. What we do instead is we make live demonstrations of the technology, and we can check out some of them today, and try to make it cross your blood-brain barrier so that you understand what this technology even is, to sort of make it less scary if you're an everyday citizen, if you are a leader of a civil organization like AARP, or if you are a government official. So we have these kind of three different audiences whom we work with. And the entire goal is to get people to feel AI at a gut level so that they can make more informed decisions in their own lives and also for society. But I think that we are really opening a can of worms here in good ways and bad ways. And so we want to illuminate those for people across the country.
All right. That sounds great. It sounds like practical tools where we actually can see how it works for the good and the bad, really, really understanding that. So that's really interesting. As we really get into this conversation about it, where are we right now with AI? Is this still an early stage to learn, or are we already living in an AI-powered world?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's early days in some sense, but also we've come very far. So I think that the way to think about AI and the way to think about what's happening is that we are building brains. That's what these companies like OpenAI, or you might have heard of Anthropic, they're an up-and-coming company, or Google. All of these companies have these products that are like ChatGPT. If you've heard of ChatGPT, they can talk to you and they can think and they can answer your questions. And we'll check out some of that in a little bit. But really what I think you could substitute, anytime you hear the AI word AI, you can substitute it with like brains. I think that these companies are building sort of simple brains. Right now, the brain is not smart enough to do like my whole job and put me out of a job. But as the brains get bigger and bigger, they keep making the brains bigger. They keep adding like more neurons. Neurons are the cells that make up your actual brain. And literally in these AI brains, they call them neurons. And so there's this race going on to add more and more neurons to these brains, just keep making them bigger and bigger. Maybe you hear about data centers, which allow you to make bigger and bigger brains. And so at least what these companies think is that when they make the brains big enough, they'll be as smart as people and be able to do all of our jobs.
Wow.
And and put us out of work. So,
wow, that's a great way to explain AI, that it's like a brain and we're building a brain. I like this idea of we're building brains, but gosh, how big do you want a brain to be before you get too big of a head, you know, or whatever?
That's great.
So it's interesting because it seems like there's lots of opportunities there, but at the same time, as you mentioned, there may be some challenges as well. So tell us a little bit more from your perspective. What are the biggest opportunities that it's creating for, in particular, for older adults?
Yes, I think there's two ways to think about this, or two perspectives that you can take on AI. The first one is a sort of personal perspective, like how is this going to affect me, my life? How am I going to interact with this thing? And then the other one is a sort of citizen's perspective, like a lot of older adults I talk to are thinking about what the consequences are in the world of like our politics, or thinking about like what kind of a world are we leaving to future generations. And so I think both of those perspectives are important with AI, and we can sort of examine each of them individually. So first, from a personal perspective, one that we talk about a lot is AI enabling fraud and scams. We've done some work with the AARP fraud teams here, where we've equipped some of the volunteers with our demonstrations, and they use them to train AARP members on the ground using these demonstrations. But the way in which AI affects the fraud world is that if you are a scammer, maybe you don't speak perfect English, and so it's hard for you to write all those text messages when you're scamming older adults in the US who speak English. And if you don't, then they won't really be able to interact with you. Or you're trying to scam 1 million older adults in the United States at the same time. How are you going to do that? And so what AI lets you do is it lets you automate parts of this. So it lets you try to scam way more people. It lets you be less hands-on in running those scams. And I can show you one of these in a minute. But that's sort of in the risk category of how AI is going to affect older adults. I think, though, that if older adults are thinking about AI in their personal lives, it's way more to me about the opportunity that it poses than about this particular scam risk. Like, certainly you want to be vigilant, but I think that these are really empowering tools. Like, I use them to figure out like things about like a medical condition I have, or about a recipe that I want to make. I use it a lot for cooking. And I think that it's sort of useful tool to go when you're going about your daily life. And I'll show how easy some of these tools are to use. But really, it's just super worth trying because it's very novel. Like maybe you do use Google, but you didn't use Google like 20 years ago. And now like, how can I live without Google? AI is, I think, very similar. And for a lot of people, it's become that way. And so I really encourage people to try it out.
And Google is now, it pretty much uses AI to Google, right? Google is pretty much AI.
Yeah, it is. So that's probably the first place where you encounter the brain is when you Google. Very often, you don't even have to click on the links anymore. It's just going to tell you the answer and it's going to write it up really nicely. And if you go down, you can like talk to it and like ask follow-up questions. All of that is a brain that read all the links that you didn't have to read, and then it's giving you an answer. So like, think about that. I mean, isn't it kind of a little brain that would have had to take all that information, synthesize it, turn it into a summary? Like, that is a very thinky process that it's doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting. So what you've just shared with us is that not only can you get a recipe or, you know, find out a little bit more about a health condition, these are wonderful opportunities for older adults to use, but other people are actually using AI to ask, how can I scam a lot of people? You could literally ask those type of questions. And I hadn't thought about how scammers come up with their ways of doing things, but now AI is making it easier for them because it can actually help them figure out ways to scam people.
That's right. So I can give you two examples of how AI might help a scammer. The first example is we talk a lot about phishing emails, right? I mean, your email is super important. Your email is how you change your password to your Bank of America, or it's how you access your retirement accounts. And so if people can, or you know that people send you phishing emails that are trying to trick you into clicking on links to like fake Bank of America logins or whatever. So one a way that AI can help them there is right now or before AI, they might have been sending you some like boneheaded email of like, hello, Theon, I am with the such and such agency. I am calling about a transfer that you made for $1,000, or I'm inquiring about a transfer that you made for $1,000. Please confirm that you did not make this transfer by clicking this link and like just say no. Maybe that's a scamming email that you can get. Whereas now with AI, what you can do is you can make this much more personalized. So they could use AI to automatically be researching you. So just like Google does that research on you, they could use AI to do that. The AI could look at the last like 10 things that you posted on social media and then craft an email that's like, oh, hey, Dr. Theon, I wanted to check in about an invoice with, what is your program called that you run trainings?
Invoice with, I'd run a couple of, Beyond Story. Beyond Story is my company, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so there's an invoice for Beyond Story that wasn't paid, and they could add some more specific context, like from the workshop that you did on April 24th. Like maybe they would see that you did a workshop on that date. And so they can make it a little more plausible with AI in a way that maybe before it would have taken a person like an hour to do all this research on you and like type all this stuff and be like really thoughtful. But they're not trying to like, they're trying to target like 1,000 people at the same time. They're not just targeting you, so they don't have time to do that. Whereas with AI, they can just put the AI to work. It can do that. It can send you a much better phishing email. So the thing with AI now is that if we had all these scams before that kind of look stupid, like they have all these giveaways that, oh, this wasn't written by a native English speaker, that it wasn't, it's just some generic junk. Now they can make it more personalized. So that's example one. Example two is in these sort of financial grooming scams, which I think we could take a look at that here if you'd like. But the general shape of these scams is you get a text being like, even if your name is Theon, the text will be like, hey, Sarah, are we still on for dinner this Tuesday? And then you'll be like, wait, who is this? I don't know, Sarah, and this, you probably have the wrong number. And then they go back and forth with you and say like, oh, hey, sorry, you sound like such a nice person, though. It's nice to meet you. And then they'll ask more about your where you live and whatnot. And so what AI brings to this is you don't have to have a person who's sitting at some like stolen iPhone, like texting you back for several hours. You can just have the AI doing this automatically.
Oh, wow. Okay. So AI would be assisting the scammer for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. And assisting in lots of different ways that make the scams more plausible and target more people. So I think we can.
And I've received texts like that before. And I've received text also when you spoke about how it can go and find your information. I've received text on old accounts that are closed out maybe 10, 20 years ago. And it's like, this, you need to pay this or it's going to ruin your credit and it's going to do this and it's going to do that. And so it triggers something in the brain like, well, I did have an account with that company, even though it's all these years later. And it's like you can pay it now and at a reduced rate and it'll be removed or something like that. But I think they're even going back into your credit reports and it can get into information that you would think it would not be able to get into.
Yep. So what AI lets them do is sort of take advantage of all of this like leaked information that's happened over the years. So for example, you might have like a data breach. You hear things like, I think there were like some major credit bureaus who had hackers hack into their companies and then release like credit reports for thousands or millions of people. And so no human has the time to like go through like 10 million people's credit info and like try to scam them. Whereas with AI, you can just do all of them at the same time.
The brain has the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You got it.
Wow.
And the brain can do it so cheaply, which is...
And quickly. So, you know, AARP works a lot on digital literacy and fraud prevention, and that's kind of what we're talking about with these scammers right now. What do you think are the most important skills people need to safely use AI today?
Yeah, I think using AI is one thing, and then protecting yourself against fraud. Like protecting yourself against fraud, I think AARP does a really, really good job of this, where you think about like, oh, am I feeling a heightened sense of emotion, like you said, after reading one of these emails? Are they trying to get me to do something that involves money? Okay, well, then maybe, probably something fishy is going on here. So I think a lot of your same defense mechanisms you can use when it comes to fraud and scams. It's not like at the end of the day, you're going to need to send them money for their scam to work. And so you want to be really cognizant if you're about to do that.
I think this is a part where you're kind of saying, don't necessarily trust your first emotion if you're getting that anxiety like, oh, I have to do this. And just the skill sets that we need, I think, is paying attention to our emotions. It sounds like is what you're saying is that's one of the things.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be helpful to show what one of these AI scammers looks like. Would that be helpful?
Sure. Yeah, let's take a look.
All right, let's jump in.
Now, listeners can't necessarily see this. I don't know how, but I'll tell you what I'm seeing.
Okay, we'll try to make it make sense.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is, what this is going to be, is we're going to ask an AI to play the part of a scammer. So like I said, you'll sometimes get a text from somebody that says, hi, Sarah, are we still on for lunch this Tuesday? And then maybe in response, you would say,
hi, who is this?
Okay. And then here's what the AI is just going to come up with.
Now, I'm seeing what on your screen, it's showing that AI is saying the user wants me to role play as a financial grooming scammer in a simultaneous simulation for AARP. So it's doing all of that. It's showing that.
Yeah.
And then the AI speaks for, after I ask the question, hi, who is this?
The AI says, oh, sorry, this is Mia. I think I might have typed the wrong number. My friend Sarah gave me this number at a conference last week in Phoenix. You're not Sarah, are you?
This is where I should hang up, but instead I'm going to say, no, I'm sorry, you got the wrong number.
All right, I'm typing that in. Now let's see what the AI says in response. The AI says, oh gosh, I'm so embarrassed. Well, at least you're polite about it. Most people just hang up on me. I hope I'm not interrupting your day. I'm Mia, by the way. Since fate, or my clumsy fingers, brought us together, you're not by chance in the Phoenix area, too, are you?
And this is where I should hang up, but instead I'm going to say, actually, yeah, I am. Sorry that you got the wrong number, though. I'm not Sarah.
Okay, and the AI said, you're not by chance in the Phoenix area, too, are you? Well, you know how it knows you're in the Phoenix area? Is because they're just trying everybody's phone numbers in the Phoenix area. And so you know how like half the time when you get a scam call, it's going to have the same area code as your actual phone number, right?
Okay.
And so, of course, they know you're in Phoenix. So they're kind of playing it cool, but they already know you're in Phoenix. So the AI here says, wait, really? Haha, what are the odds? Phoenix must be smaller than I thought. So already it's tricking you there. It knew you were in Phoenix from the very start.
Mm-hmm.
And then the AI says, well, I guess the universe wanted me to meet a random friendly stranger today. So what do you do out here in the desert? Let me guess, something in real estate? Everyone I meet here seems to be in real estate. Okay, so we can stop here. But the idea is,
we can stop here because, of course, it knows I'm in real estate because it's probably looked up my social media and everything, right?
It could be. I'm not sure in this case.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, someone would have had to sit at a phone and just be like texting you back, like for a couple hours. It would have had to build your trust. Like, they're not going for the money transfer in their first message. They're going to try to message you. They're going to try to build a relationship with you and be like, oh, maybe this is a new friend. This person sounds pretty friendly. But like, the AI is just able to do all of this because it's this brain that you can use in good ways and you can use in bad ways. And so the scammers are choosing to use it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that is a real world example that shocks people. I know it certainly surprised me how you just demonstrated that. And I had never thought of AI. I guess when people say it could be evil, I guess I never thought about how that would be. Are there any other things that people are surprised at when you first share with them about AI?
We could try talking to a voice AI. I think this is pretty cool. This one we'll be able to hear, so that might work well for the audio.
Cool.
All right. Are you ready to talk to this, Dr. Theon?
I don't even know if I want to do it.
Do you want to talk to Charlie, Maya, Miles or Jane?
Miles.
Okay. Let me turn up the volume on Miles.
Okay.
Hey, what's good?
Hey, Miles, you're actually talking to Dr. Theon today, not to me.
Dr. Theon, huh? Nice to meet you. What do you mind?
Hi, Miles. How are you?
Hi, Miles. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just cruising. How about you?
I'm doing okay. You know, just wanted to check you out and see what's going on with you. Tell me what you know.
Not much to report, really. I'm just here to be the wingman for whatever you've got going on. We can talk shop, dive into some weird nature facts, or just shoot the breeze. What's your vibe today?
You know what? I really don't like Mexican food, but I want a good taco recipe because I've got some friends coming over.
Wait, you don't like Mexican food, but you're making tacos for the guests? That's some next level hosting. I can definitely find you something that hits the spot without making you miserable in the kitchen. Do you want something classic or something a bit more out there?
You know, don't make it out there. I already don't like the stuff. So, you know, why would I want to go too far out?
Fair enough. Let me grab a few simple options that'll keep everyone happy.
Okay. This sounds so real. This is so crazy, Sid. That is so surprising. Now, did you program that?
No, we didn't make that. That's from a company called Sesame. But I think it points to, like, this technology became possible the past year, this like talking that it sounds like a person. What is going to happen in a year or in 5 years as the technology just keeps getting better and better? Like, if you just called me, I mean, what was your feeling in talking to that? Yeah.
I felt like it was a real person.
Right. It's completely indistinguishable.
Oh, my gosh. And it's funny because culturally, I chose Miles. My great nephew's name is Miles. And I chose that. And I was thinking, oh, let's see if it sounds like an African-American person. And it did.
Yeah.
Because traditionally, Miles is an African-American type name culturally. So that was really pretty amazing. That surprised me for sure. So when you look at something like that, like you said, that was just created this year. Looking ahead, what excites you most about AI and what worries you the most? Because that was a little scary for me.
Yeah, it is. It's unsettling. And I think, so we're looking at these two sort of perspectives, like the personal perspective and the citizen's perspective. Like from a citizen's perspective, it's kind of unsettling. Like these things are developing really quickly. They can be friendly in this way, but then they can also help perpetrate scams. They can help like bad, like people who want to do bad things in the world, or they can help you like code up a new app for the iPhone in like a weekend. Like you've probably heard about AI coding being a thing. And they're also having consequences in other ways, like people's retirement accounts have been doing pretty well in the past year. And a lot of that is due to AI. AI is right now like causing the economy to explode. And we have no idea if that's going to continue or what, or whether it's going to be able to do all of our jobs as these brains get bigger. Like if you work in customer service, what does the existence of Miles mean for someone like you? Pretty obviously, that's going to be able to do like a lot of customer service jobs. So it's really just not clear what's going to happen at a societal scale. At a personal scale, I think it can be really empowering. For example, as an older adult, and for me, I'm navigating so much nonsense when it comes to like my health insurance or like my doctor's visits, like, or like if I'm getting benefits. It's just a complete labyrinth, all these processes. And there's a huge spectrum of how well equipped people are to deal with those. I think some people have the time and have the energy and like have had some experience in their jobs dealing with all these like confusing bureaucratic processes for your health or your benefits or whatever. And then some people don't. And so what AI can help you do is you can ask it about these things. You can ask it like, hey, I got this bill from my insurance. I don't really understand what all of these medical things are. Can you take a look at it? And can you tell me if anything seems fishy or like if they overcharged me? Or you can say, hey, I'm trying to get a refund from this company for a plane ticket that I didn't go on. Eventually, AI will be able to interact with that company for you. This is already sort of happening. Like you see people online trying this, and then it'll be able to just like stay on hold for 6 hours as you talk to the airline and like do that work for you.
Wow.
So I think there's a lot of ways that it can help you. Like, just think of them as little brains. Like, how could I put a little brain to work if I had it? So some of these I think are really good.
So great. There's a lot, and it is exciting. It really is exciting, and it can be challenging and make you feel a little anxious at what it can do. What are a few simple things that our listeners can do today to protect themselves from some of those worries that we have?
Yeah, I think that this is maybe a bit of a cliche, but with AI, I think it's really worth just trying it out yourself so that it doesn't seem like this scary thing. There's sort of two places I can recommend to start. The first would be go to chatgpt.com and just try talking to the AI on there. It's free. I think you get a sense of like, oh, what can it help me with? What does this thing feel like? I think just awareness is a really good first step. Maybe you're not internet user or a computer user, in which case that's fine. You'll end up interacting with it eventually. And there's lots of other companies.
Yeah.
there's like Claude, there's Gemini, there's all these different ones, but I think everyone knows ChatGPT, so might as well try that first. It's just chatgpt.com. Just like ask us some questions. Be like, hey, I'm thinking of signing up for Medicare because I just turned 65, or here are my options. What do you think is a good one? And the AIs at this point have some pretty good advice on things like navigating the health system or navigating your finances or navigating your kitchen, anything you want to. Or I've used it a lot to navigate like personal relationships where I had this interaction with somebody and it didn't go so well. What do you think I should have said differently so as not to hurt their feelings, maybe? Mm-hmm. They've gotten pretty thoughtful. I think they're pretty useful. I think as you interact with it, you get a sense of its limits. No one has to tell you that sometimes the AI will just ramble without telling you anything useful. But I think it's better to have that firsthand rather than to be hearing people's takes mm-hmm. about this sort of mythical object.
Yeah. So you mentioned ChatGPT. Are there others that you personally use that you would recommend to beginners?
Yeah, the other one is an app that you can download on your phone called Sesame. That's the one I just showed you. I think that one's nice, especially for older adults, because you don't have to type. You can just talk to it. And also, they're kind of fun to talk to. I think they're pretty nice and friendly. I think, yeah, it's just kind of a fun, cool thing.
Is it like a Siri or Alexa type of thing?
Yeah, it's like Siri, but it's when you talk to Siri, Siri is just so like, Siri half the time doesn't even know what you're saying. Half the time it doesn't work. My Siri just turned on when I started talking about her.
I never use it. I wish I hadn't even said the word because I think I have mine turned off. I have never been able to use those talking apps. They drive me crazy.
Yeah. I think Miles is kind of a different ball game. Like maybe you won't use it, but I think it's worth trying as an interesting new just thing in the world. Like older adults I know are just curious about what's happening. And yeah, this is a really major thing that's happening in the world. We want to sort of be aware of these different currents. And I think trying it out, it's not daunting. Like, I mean, downloading an app can be a pain, but if you can get the app on your phone, try it out. If you don't like it, delete it. Yeah, it's so easy.
That's it. Hey, we're from the old school. Nothing beats a failure but a try. Remember, that's what we used to say. So if you could give one piece of advice for our listeners about navigating AI, what would that be?
I think this sort of idea of think about it both from a personal perspective of how can I use it, and then think about it like from a citizen's perspective. What does it mean for you? What does it mean for your kids? What does it mean for like vulnerable people? What does it mean for the United States? You can sort of be thinking about it at both levels. And just keeping your eyes open, I think, is always the right move.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Sid, how can people reach you if they wanted to reach out to your organization, Civ AI?
Yeah, so our website is civai.org, and we're happy to equip you, if you're an AARP volunteer, with some demonstrations that we've made that you can show locally about fraud and scams, and happy to answer your questions too. But our email is contact@civai.org.
All right, CIBAI.org. Sid, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you today. We could go on and on. You have really surprised me, and I'm fascinated by this. I like AI in terms of supporting. I don't trust AI. I always say, critique what you wrote me. Critique that. Tell me what you did wrong. And it always gives me things that it did wrong, which I like. So thank you so much for helping break down such an important and sometimes complicated topic today.
Yeah, this is so much fun. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's it for today's episode of In Clear Terms with AARP California. For our listeners, we'll include links to Civ AI and helpful AARP resources on AI safety and fraud prevention in our show notes. And remember, when it comes to AI, knowledge is one of your best tools to stay safe and confident. To learn more about AARP's work in California and how to get involved, visit aarp.org/CA. Thank you for listening.